It is Wednesday, December the 4th, 2013. I am Steve Gerwick, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, gerwick.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news. And today we have a very special guest on the line. Welcome to gerwick.net. She is the Covey Pro Women's Champion, and on Friday she actually has an intergender match. And on Saturday, she'll be defending her title, so we'll talk about that with the very beautiful Mary Elizabeth Monroe. How you doing today, Mary?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing real good, and we appreciate your time today. I know you have a very busy schedule. And I guess the first question is, since a lot of people may not be familiar with you, you are in Ohio, and you wrestle a lot in the Midwest and Pennsylvania and West Virginia. Can you give us a little bit of background about yourself, where you came from, how you started, and how long have you been active in professional wrestling?
Okay, I have a fun little story about how I started. I am a singer, and I've been doing music my whole life. I also always was doing sports and athletics. I played softball all through college. So when I was 19, I was in a rock band, and I was the lead vocalist for this rock band in Cincinnati. So I was also waitressing at the time, and my band had a show coming up at a club in downtown Cincinnati, and I invited people I worked with to come see my band. One of the other waiters said, well, I will come see your band if you get your band to come see me wrestle. And I thought, well, okay, what the heck? So, you know, that's fair. I'll go see wrestling. So I got my best girlfriend and then my other best friend, who's still my best friend, who is my guitarist, and we all went to this wrestling show. It turned out it was Heartland Wrestling Association. This was just shortly after they had the developmental contract with WWE. And it turns out it was, I don't know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes away from the home where I grew up, and I didn't know it existed. So thankfully I found out it existed. I went and saw the show, and I immediately, just watching it, said to my friend, I said, I'm going to do this. And she said, oh yeah, cool. Yeah, let's do this. And I don't know how, you know, if she realized I was serious, but I was serious. So, it took me a few months to get anyone to give me enough information to get an opportunity to start training. I was actually at school in St. Louis at the time, so I went back to St. Louis. I found out about a different company in Eastern Ohio that was having a Diva Search contest, so I sent everything in online. I sent like an essay and a resume and headshots and photos and everything. And I won that Diva Search, and part of that was that they would train me and I would work on their shows. Now, they didn't have a regular training facility, and it was pretty far from where I was in St. Louis, but it was even still kind of far from when I would come home to Cincinnati. So I accepted that. I was excited I was going to at least get to do something. And then I got an email one day from Cody Hawk, and he said that he had heard I won this Diva Search, and he had seen me do a little bit of training in the ring, and if I would like to come train at HWA, you know, he would love to have me there. So I thought, that's where I wanted to go. That's awesome. And people who had kind of been wrestling and knew what a big deal HWA was at the time also told me, like, yes, that's huge, go do that. So I started training. This was, I think it was the end of 2005, mid to end of 2005. By, I believe it was 2006 was when I was able to do my first match, and I think it was the end of 2005 or 2006 or maybe a year later, I don't know. But my first match was a 10-man intergender tag team match where I got to run in and like give a move and take a move and roll out. So did a couple of those. But that was how I got started. So I've been at it for, I don't know, like 8 years or something.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? It goes by fast.
It does. It, and recently, now when people have asked me, I'm like, oh, shoot. Holy cow. well, yeah. So it's kind of lit a fire under my butt, I guess, a little bit. I mean, a lot of it was, I've been in school. I've been doing a lot of things. But right now it's just, I don't want to just halfway do it and just kind of float through and be doing this for years and years and years. I want to do it. So I'm just really working hard to just get in the best condition I can. I've always been, you know, somebody that, you know, I try to pay attention to my nutrition and my health and my physicality, but I'm just really, really cracking down on my diet and on my workouts and, you know, just trying to push it as hard as I can right now.
Can you give us kind of highlights of your career, some of the bigger venues you've worked with or at, some of the bigger promotions you've worked with, some of the maybe the more high-profile matches you've competed in, some of the maybe a common opponents that we maybe are familiar with?
I know one kind of a cool venue that I got to work at was the Field House in Huntington, West Virginia. And I know there have historically been a lot of big matches that occurred there, so that was cool to get an opportunity to wrestle there. One of the, I guess, bigger names, there's a couple people I've gotten to be in the ring with. One of my early matches was against ODB, and that was really cool. I was telling you a little bit about this earlier, but I want to make sure everybody gets the story. I had just started as a personality for HWA after I'd been training for a while. So I was doing a show in Dayton, Ohio, where I was supposed to be ring announcing. And I had just left my apartment, and I got a call from Cody Hawk, and he said, hey, ODB is in town, and she wants to wrestle. So do you have your wrestling gear? And I said, well, I'm about to. And I turned around, and I got my gear, and I got my butt there. And I got to have a match with her, which was very cool. I learned a lot from working with her, and it was really a pleasure to get a chance to not only kind of talk to her and get to know her and kind of pick her brain about wrestling and the business and the industry, but then to get to have a match with her and see, you know, what that was like to be in the ring with somebody with that kind of level of experience and everything. So that was awesome. Let me see. I did a show in Chicago where I was tag partners with Colt Cabana. So that was kind of neat. It was another thing where I was a ring announcer, and then I ended up getting pulled into this tag match. So it was Colt Cabana and myself against Cody Hawk and I think her name was Natasha Starr.
How about travels? You know, going across the country. Have you worked internationally anywhere?
I have not worked internationally. I've had several offers to go to. I've gotten offers for Europe, China, South Africa.
Wow.
I think I got this. I was in touch with somebody for a while about somewhere in India, and then I had offers in Canada and Mexico. In Mexico, I almost went, but there was some kind of confusion about some of the details of the trip. I was supposed to be traveling with other people, and I had also asked that I get all of my detailed itinerary information before I left. I wanted it 2 weeks before I left. I needed contact information. I needed to know where I was going to be exactly, and just, you know, things that you would want to know when you leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't get any of that. And I also, when it was getting close to time to leave, the other people I was traveling with weren't going, so I was going to be going by myself. This was also around the time that the news was just inundated with stories about thousands and thousands of dead bodies they were finding along the border towns in Mexico, particularly Laredo, which was the town that I was supposed to travel through. So I said, you know, I'm not going to leave the country next week with no information, nobody to travel with me, and this drug war going on. And at the time I was platinum blonde and blue eyed, so I figured it was just not the best idea. So I gracefully
declined.
Yeah.
I don't blame you, because sometimes I hear about, you know, Mexico, and I know they do book a lot of American and Canadian girls to go down there and work. But at the same time, you know, like you said, there's a drug war going on, and your people getting beheaded and dead bodies at the border. So it is definitely a concern when you travel international.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's anywhere. It's not just Mexico.
Yeah.
And there are all kinds of things that happen, and it's smart, you know, if you know the details and know the area, if you have travel companions. I mean, just going by yourself and then having no clue where you are and where you're going and how to get in touch with anybody they've got movies based on that. So
now, you mentioned your connection kind of to wrestling was through music, because you had a band at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still involved in music?
I am. I am right now completing my undergrad degree in vocal music education. When I first got out of high school, I went to school for musical theater performance. So I have done some professional stage performance and musical theater performance. I am going to be singing at Carnegie Hall in New York this February with my collegiate chorale that I'm a part of. So I've done some compositions and recordings and some of that kind of stuff. So I'm definitely very involved in music. It's a huge part of my life and who I am, which, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. It's maybe sort of a weird dichotomy with wrestling, but that's me.
Now, when you were serious about going into wrestling and you went that path, I just wondered what the reaction was from some of your friends and your mom and dad, parents, family. What was their reaction when you said, hey, I think I'm going to give this pro wrestling thing a try?
Well, my parents were not happy about it at all. And they still, I mean, for the last, whatever, 8 years, they've been wondering when I would get it out of my system. And for a number of reasons, for my physical safety, I think sometimes they've gone to a couple of wrestling shows, and sometimes they're not in the greatest areas of town, and, you know, sometimes you show up and it's this kind of just really fun, interesting little building that looks like it might fall apart, and, you know, so things like that they're a little worried about, and they don't like me traveling long distances by myself. They're just, you know, concerned about things like that. So that's, you know, it's not ever something that they've really been able to get too excited about. But a lot of my close friends, their initial reaction was, huh, I never would have thought that you would come to me and say, hey, by the way, I'm going to be a pro wrestler. But on the other hand, it doesn't really surprise me. So I think they, you know, once I told them, they were like, yeah, that sounds like something you would do. And one of my really close friends when I started told me that, you know, she knew that I would always do whatever I wanted to do and would work really hard, and, you know, if I had a goal, I was going to do it. So she said, you know, it doesn't really totally surprise me if this is something that you saw and you wanted to do, that you're going to do it and make it happen.
How's the body holding up? You know, obviously a lot of bumps, a lot of bruises. How's the body holding up after 8 years in wrestling?
Really well. I take good care of myself in a number of ways. As far as the nutrition and working out and staying in good physical condition, that's very important. I also attribute a lot of that to my initial training. I was trained in a way, and part of this is also my personal philosophy, is my goals in the ring is, number one, to protect my opponent, number two, to protect myself, and number three, to put on a good and entertaining show. So I do things in a way to, you know, make sure that I protect myself. I know that having good training and keeping up with good training is a way to avoid injury and protect yourself, and just having body awareness. If I, for some reason, was extra tired, or if it's hot and it's, you know, you're extra sweaty, there are just things that I'm not going to attempt because they're too risky. Now, I do take probably more risks than a lot of my friends and family would like me to, but I do those in a way that I feel very confident and comfortable. So I've had, I've had a concussion. I think I've had a broken nose. I've had a chipped tooth, busted lips, you know. I've had just hyperextensions and, you know, little things here and there. But for the most part, it's, you know, you stay in good condition and pay attention to just the situation, the surroundings, your body, and, you know, just protect yourself. And I think it's, you know, it's certainly still a risk, but I've been able to really keep myself healthy, and right now I feel better than ever. So
that's great. I wanted to ask you, because you worked with Les Thatcher, obviously Les Thatcher is a kind of a legend in the business. He's mm-hmm. helped train a lot of great wrestlers we see today. And you also mentioned Jimmy Yang.
Yeah, it's confusing. It's rhyming and it's Jimmy.
We'll go with Jimmy Yang. Yeah, yeah, Jimmy Yang. Talk about training with him and some of the good advice that he's been able to offer you.
Training with Jimmy was very cool because he was able to give me the input based on somebody who has worked for the WWE for a long time. So a lot of the things that he would talk about were keeping things simple, but knowing how to do what you do very well. So his point being that if you can do some big crazy move, it doesn't matter if you are not able to do your lockup and your opening perfectly, because when you send in a tape, if the first 5 seconds aren't perfect, they're not even going to see the rest of what you have to offer. So it's really focus on the basics, have them perfect before you start getting ahead of yourself and worrying about the other things, and then the other things will come. So, you know, that was one of the biggest things I took away from him. But it was a lot of fun to work with him and try different things, get some of his ideas that he had gotten from working in different areas of the world. You know, sometimes I would say, okay, well, I'm interested in some of the more European style kinds of things. So he would show me some different things that were different between sort of the different regions of wrestling. And for me, the way I grew up was, I grew up around amateur Greco-Roman wrestling. So if you watch me work, a lot of my style really comes from the kind of chain wrestling, mat wrestling, Greco-Roman style. And that's just, I grew up around it. My dad, my brother, my cousins, my uncles, everybody were wrestlers and wrestling coaches. So that's something that comes very naturally to me. I like it. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. So getting to do some of those things and then getting to take some of the influences from other regions and adding that into it was really cool.
What did you take from Les Thatcher? I know, listening to some other interviews you've done, he obviously wasn't hands-on in training you. It was Cody Hawk. Mm-hmm. But maybe any advice or any input he might have gave you that was kind of valuable?
You know, when I was training, like you said, it was definitely more Cody Hawk. Les came in and he would, it was almost like seminars in a way. He would kind of run training and then he would sort of sit us down and talk to us. So he would talk a lot about things that are, they're kind of common sense, but sometimes people need to hear, like, if you want to be on TV, you need to look like the people on TV. And if you want to beat someone else out for a spot, then you need to be working harder than they are. And, just focusing on every aspect, you know, you have to you have to have the total package and be prepared for the opportunity. So, you know, it was a lot of just kind of sage wisdom that he shared. And, you know, it was like, you know, you need to know how to wrestle. You need to look right. You need to have the gear. You need to eat right. And then, you know, be ready if the chance were to appear.
Well, you're talking about, you know, he said common sense things. Sometimes the common sense isn't so common anymore. So it's good to hear, you know, to hear some of the things that you hear it, you take it for granted. But if somebody says it to you, then, yeah, I guess, you know, that makes sense. You know,
mm-hmm. And some of it, too, is I think something that he is good at is to remind you to be, I guess, honest and realistic with yourself, because I think there are a lot of people that look in the mirror and think, well, yeah, you know, I look as good as those guys on TV, or my gear is as good as those guys on TV, but then really look and really be honest, and do you really look, you know, do you really look like somebody that they're going to put on TV, or do you just almost, you know, or is your gear really like what they have on TV, or is it just, you know, better than the other people on the independent circuit? And, I mean, you have to be... You have to be not only as good as those people, you got to be better than those people. And that's just, I think, where the goal has to be is a step beyond.
Now, in your travels, obviously you've worked in for a number of promotions, a number of different promoters, different cities, different venues. Obviously, there's always a different fan base. Mm-hmm. Just kind of in general from, you know, your travels, what is it that wrestling fans want from the women wrestlers? Do they want athletic ability in the ring, or is it, do they want some eye candy, or is it a combination of both? Or what do you think the general wrestling fan wants from women's wrestling?
It definitely depends on where you go. I think that there is a small niche market, unfortunately, for some real serious women's competition. I say unfortunately about it being a small market. A lot of places, like if I go to Tennessee, then a lot of it is more just, it's more entertaining and comedy and kind of light. And then I think if you were to go to Chicago, or if you go some areas like New Jersey, New England, then those are areas where I think the audience will more appreciate the women's really strong competition. And then a lot of other places I've worked, you know, I can kind of get away with a combination. And I think for me, if you can put it all in a total package and make it a combination, then people are going to be more entertained. So I tend to... You know, I still want to go out there and I want to look pretty, because that's just kind of the name of the game. That's the first thing they see. So you wanna look good. You wanna look like somebody that they're gonna pay a ticket to see, and they can kind of get behind and look up to. And then you need to get in the ring and be able to connect and interact with the audience. So I like to really get them invested and involved, and a lot of times I use humor, because that's me, that's my personality. So, you know, I like to get them involved and kind of laughing, and with larger audiences, that sometimes becomes a little more of a challenge, but with smaller audiences, sometimes I can just literally speak to audience members and kind of banter back and forth and get them just kind of relaxed and having fun. And then once the match starts, those two elements are still there, but then I want to show them that I am a credible athlete who has been working hard for years, and I can do things that even not all the other wrestlers can do. So I think once you give them that whole combination, then, you know, I think they're more willing to accept more of the strong competition from women if they have the other elements. But if they don't, then a lot of areas aren't going to be as interested, and they're going to miss out, because they'll already be kind of turned off. So it could be something that if you give it to them in a way that they are ready to watch it and ready to just be a part of the match, then they'll see it and they'll appreciate it. But if you just kind of are, I guess, deadpan and just throw it out there and are like, okay, look at what I can do, then you lost them already.
Have you been asked to do anything you weren't real comfortable with? You know, I could think of, you know, sometimes they do bikini competitions, or the promoter ever say to you, this girl's going to rip your top off, or a guy's going to rip your top off. Have you ever been kind of put in a uncomfortable situation where you weren't real happy with what they wanted you to do?
I have. You know, sometimes I've been contacted and I've been asked, like, hey, we want to do this bikini contest, or we want to do this wet t-shirt contest. You know, is that something you'd be willing to be a part of? And then, you know, I can say yes or no. Sometimes it's, you know, oh, you're going to be involved in this match and you should do, you know, whatever. And, you know, I guess because of my training too, is I've felt pretty comfortable saying if I'm okay with doing something or if I'm not. And also because of the caliber of training that HWA provided, I can not only explain, you know, why I will or will not do something, but I can come up with a good alternative. So, you know, and if people think it's a good alternative or not, it doesn't really matter, because if I'm not comfortable with it, I'm not doing it. But
it seems like, you know, going back to like the Attitude Era, they were doing a lot of the bra and panties and things. And now, mm-hmm. you know, as you said, there's a niche out there for women's wrestling. There's Shine, there's Shimmer. So mm-hmm. I think maybe we've progressed a little bit from the kind of the mindless, mm-hmm. you know, TNA stuff to more we want to see women wrestle. And I think TNA's done a good job to a certain degree with the Knockouts. They have a lot of athletic women. Obviously, Gail Kim is a very established women's wrestler. So, you know, along those lines, I know there's other women promotions out there. Have you done a lot of all-women shows? And have you ever worked for Shimmer or Shine?
I have not worked for Shimmer or Shine. I did work for, what's the company in Chicago? I should have been prepared. There's a company in Chicago that uses a lot of the girls from Shimmer that I worked for, and I can't remember what it's called. But I don't know.
That's okay.
I did an all-girls show in Cleveland for AIW. I've done a couple of all-girls shows. I've done a couple of all-girls shows in Kentucky. I'm trying to, like, get back into the files here in the last 8 years, if I remember. and then there was one I did, I think it was OCW in around Cleveland, I think, or Columbus, maybe Columbus. And it was in Ohio.
Talk about one of the things I thought was interesting listening to some of the interviews you've done is that you've designed ring gear for some of the people we've seen on television. How's that going, and are you still doing that?
I am still doing it a little bit. I did do some ring gear for Madison Rayne when she first started TNA. She needed something for a pay-per-view kind of last minute, so I put something together for her. I right now I haven't been doing it as much just because of school. I'm really, really busy with that. So I kind of do my own gear, and then there are a couple of people who have asked me to do pieces for them. So once I'm finished with school and have a little more time on my hands, then I'm thinking I'll kind of get back into that a little bit more when I actually have time to do it. So,
you know, along your career, you've been, you know, in the ring for 8 years. Do you ever kind of keep a log of some of the matches, you know, write down, you know, where you've been and some of the people you've worked with?
I should have, but I never really did. I actually used to have a roommate, Sammy Callahan, who is now, he just got signed for WWE.
Right.
I can't remember what his name is. but
I know they keep changing the names in NXT, so but I know who you mean.
But yeah, it's, what is it? But he was one of my roommates, and he used to keep on his Solomon Crow is his name right now, Solomon Crow.
Okay.
He used to keep a running Rolodex on his computer every single time he wrestled. He would type it in and type the date, the venue, the opponent, the results, everything. And, you know, it would have been kind of cool to have, but I didn't. So sometimes, you know, I'll try to sort of think back and be like, okay, here's all the states I've wrestled. Here's the people I've wrestled. And occasionally, for example, I just remembered that I did do another all-girls show in Chicago that I totally forgot about, where I wrestled Daphne, and I was, don't tell anybody, but I was in her Shark Girl costume to protect me.
Oh, wow.
Don't tell anybody. It kind of blows the whole thing, but that was years ago, so I can get away from it. And I think that was the first time I was on a show with, like, Sarah Del Rey was there and Daisy Hayes. So there was a good group of girls there.
You know, we hear about certain females on the indie scene, and sometimes they, you know, get tryouts with WWE or TNA. But who are some of the kind of the unsung women out there that are really good, that are coming up, that maybe we'll hear about more in the future? Some of the girls maybe you've worked with in the past.
Well, there's one girl that I really, really enjoyed working with, but she has quit the business. So I would have said Epiphany. And she was down at OVW for a while, but she's decided to take a step back. So,
she was the African American woman,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about. Okay.
She's fantastic, and mm-hmm. I tried so hard to get her just to do one more match with me, but she wouldn't do it. She told me she couldn't do it. It's like, So that's kind of.
How about Taryn Shea? Is she still active?
I don't know. I haven't seen her for a long time. I got to wrestle her a couple times. I enjoyed working with her, but I haven't seen her. I'm not sure what she's doing. Alita Ortiz, I really like her a lot, and I think she's a very hard worker, really strong girl. So I would say I'll go with Alita Ortiz.
I know you don't want to, you know, spell out anybody and say, oh, you overlooked me or whatever. I know sometimes that gets you in some trouble, but you know, there are a lot of talented women out there we don't get a chance to see because sometimes the promotions, they either don't have DVDs or they don't have internet pay-per-views. And there's a lot of really talented people out there that, and that's one of the reasons I like to do interviews with independent people, because you know, there is so many talented people that just don't get the opportunities they used to be. I mean, when I first started covering wrestling, it was ECW, WCW, you know, WWE. And now, of course, there's very limited, you know, opportunities for some of the more talented people out there. And,
yeah.
And obviously WWE likes to sign a lot of people, and some of them make it to the main roster. Some of them don't. A lot of them spend a lot of time in NXT. I guess if Vince calls tomorrow and says, you know, we want to bring you in, we'll bring it to WWE. But, you know, the thing is, we have a lot of women. What separates you from the other women? What can I hang my hat on with you? What makes you special in the ring?
Well, one of the things that really makes me special and makes me different is that I have a varied background, and I've got a lot of different experiences. My life is not just wrestling. So I have a lot of musical experience. That includes singing in multiple languages. So I've got some experience in different languages. I've got horseback riding experience, softball experience, sign language. Psychology. I really spend a lot of time focusing on my education. I've read the complete works of Shakespeare several times. So my life and my contribution to wrestling is not just wrestling. It isn't just the same experiences that every other wrestler has on the road and in the independent circuit. I pull from every other aspect of life and of my life, and I get all of the knowledge and information and experience that I can so that I can bring that to who I am as a wrestler and who I am as a character. I've coached high school softball, things like that, where I have the attitude and the character to not only excel for myself, but to really help the other people around me excel. Because I think when you can do that, when you can make the people around you better, then you really can be better and be the best you can.
Have you ever thought of, obviously you have a character now that you do on the independent circuit. Have you ever really thought of if TNA or WWE would call? And obviously, if they were to call and they were to sign you, they would probably have their own gimmicks for you, their own characters they'd want you to portray on television. But have you ever really thought of if they were to call me and they'd say, okay, what do you want to do on TV? Who do you want to be? What kind of character do you want to present? What kind of style do you want to, you know, deliver on television? Do you want to be Mary Elizabeth Monroe on TV, or do you want to be someone else on television?
I could be Mary Elizabeth Monroe, but I have another idea that I'm kind of working on that I actually got from a male wrestler who I am going to face on Friday, Tanner Reynolds, and he may have been just trying to be condescending, but it was a good idea. He has likened me to Katy Perry. So
okay.
Don't tell anybody, because I don't want anyone stealing my idea that I stole from him. But you know, so he may have been being a jerk as always, but Tanner Reynolds, you know, sometimes you come up with a gem. So good for you.
That's right.
I'll take
now,
it.
Now obviously, as you know, you've been in business, wrestling business for 8 years. Have you had any feelers? Have you ever sent any tapes?
You know, I have not actually, and that's I for a number of reasons that I won't get into. I never have sent anything, so that's when I said, okay, it's been 8 years. I'm ready to do this now. That's part of what I meant. You know, I've got some photo shoots set up. I'm really getting my gear together and getting my body together and getting my focus back. And, you know, so this year, you know, is when I'm going to be sending in my photos and my tapes and my resume and my promos and everything. So.
Have you ever, like, maybe heard through the grapevine that, you know, WWE is keeping an eye on you or TNA is keeping an eye on you? Have you ever heard anything like that along those lines?
I mean, not really, and I don't really, like, I'm kind of out of the loop when, as far as that kind of stuff goes, I don't really pay attention. But I will say, this doesn't necessarily have anything to do with me wrestling, but years ago, when I was working for HWA, Heartland Wrestling Association, as a manager, I was appearing every week on their TV show, Adrenaline. And there were about 3 weeks in a row where I would come up with an outfit that, and some of them were kind of unusual things that I would do that weren't really, they were kind of ideas I came up with, where I would wear like thigh-high socks but fold them over my knee-high boots, and things that people weren't really doing. And then for 3 weeks in a row, the week after Adrenaline aired, I would watch Raw, and Melina would come out in exactly the same outfit. So, I mean, somebody was, I don't think Melina was watching and necessarily stealing my, I mean, maybe she was, I don't know, but somebody was watching Adrenaline and taking some of my fashion advice, I think.
Somebody was paying attention.
Somebody was paying attention. And, you know, I was trying to be sort of creative and fashion forward, so I guess it worked.
Now, do you get a chance to watch WWE, TNA? And if you do, kind of, you know, your thoughts on the products? And can you kind of see yourself maybe fitting in with either the Knockouts or the Divas?
Well, first of all, I have not really had an opportunity to watch wrestling for a long time because I've been taking between 19 and 21 credit hours every semester, including summers, for the last 3 years. So.
Well, that makes sense.
I am totally like, well, and that's actually, you asked about some of the kind of highlights and bigger names. I used to be really close friends and trained with, and then also had the opportunity to kind of have him help in my training with John Moxley, who is Dean Ambrose now.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I have yet to see him on TV because I keep almost forgetting, because to me it's John that, you know, we were buddies and trained together back in the day. And then people will bring him up, or I'll, like, you know, see him on something, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I should probably watch that. So that's, you know, it's like, if I was going to watch it, you know, of course I would want to watch my friend, you know, that you know, was one of my old friends. But I'm just trying to get through school right now. It's been so crazy that I haven't even had a moment to breathe and, you know, go check out, you know, somebody who helped train me on, you know, now that he's, you know, got his opportunity. So if that tells you anything about what I'm going through right now.
You're a busy person, to sum that up, right?
Well, and you know how hard it was to just get on the phone with me. So.
Yes, we've been playing kind of phone tag and text tag. And
yeah, and then I'm like MIA for several days. And, you know, that's how my life is right now.
I'm just curious, who is your, like, all-time favorite wrestler?
Oh, my gosh. That's really, I guess I would say Shawn Michaels. But I have a lot of favorite wrestlers for different reasons. So I'll kind of give you my top list. Lanny Poffo. I love Lanny Poffo.
The genius.
Yeah, and people, whenever, I've always said that. I mean, my whole wrestling career, people ask me, and I always say Lanny Poffo, and people are like, you know who Lanny Poffo is? Because they're thinking, you know, he was before my time, and he was, but, you know, that's what DVDs are for. So, yeah, I just, his character and charisma, and just his commitment to the character and the little details, just, I think, are great. And so that's something that I definitely take from him. Jake the Snake Roberts, and mm-hmm. you know, he's especially somebody that I watch for promos, and he's given really great advice on some of the DVDs and literature I've read about how to make people listen to you and make them want to listen to you. So I think he's very, very smart in that way. Mick Foley for talking as well. He's somebody who, when I was talking about bringing in outside elements into wrestling, he's somebody that, you know, he's so intelligent, and he can make just all these different references and tie different things in. And there aren't a lot of people that can do that. And if you don't have the education and the experience, you can't do that. So that's, you know, something I take from him and something that I try to do. Of course, Ric Flair, for just the whole heel attitude, and then Ricky Steamboat for the babyface fire. You know, these are kind of sort of obvious, but those are, and then Chris Jericho, and he, you know, a lot like Shawn Michaels, just has that kind of charisma and attitude. But the guys that have then for just that charisma and that it factor, the intangible, Rob Conway, Test, Eddie Guerrero, those are guys that I like to watch, because it's just, there's this something about them that you can't really put your finger on or replicate, but it's something that I like to look at, and I like to study these guys and figure out who has it and who doesn't, and why do they or don't they, and why do I or don't I, and, you know, what can I do? So, and then finally, my kind of last group would be the guys who I think, because I talked about how I love amateur Greco-Roman wrestling, and that's something that I'm really very passionate about. So I like Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and Chavo Guerrero, because those guys, I mean, and then, you know, you can put Fit Finley in there too. Like, you know, guys that know Regal, you know, you don't get to see it a lot on TV, but these guys that really know how to do these holds and how to, you know, move around and reverse and do all that kind of stuff. The everyday fan might kind of get bored and not get into that stuff because it's just that technical wrestling, but that's something that I love. So I love watching those guys for that, but then I pull that in and I add it to what I take from the guys with the charisma and what I take from the guys with the promo and what I take from the guys with the character and the look, and then try to put that all together as one package. So, you know, then people want to watch that. Then people will watch that technical wrestling because you're infusing it with everything else.
Those are great lists. And the name that stuck out to me was Rob Conway. I always thought he was a very talented guy who, I don't know why I didn't make it bigger. I just thought he really had the complete package, the good look, the facials, in-ring ability, talking, and yet...
And he is,
you know,
a nice guy, too.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
He's so nice and respectful. He was somebody, he was kind of giving me advice one time about kind of marketing and merchandising. And these are things that, you know, that's from a business standpoint that not everybody thinks about. You think, okay, I got to learn how to wrestle and I got to get some gear. But there's so much more to it. So anytime... you know, somebody starts talking, I start listening, you know. And so he was somebody that was, you know, while Hulk Hogan was kind of the original ultimate self-promotion merchandising kind of juggernaut, you know, there are these guys that they know how to do it and they can, you know, give some really good advice, because this is, you know, to make any sort of living or even to cover your costs in the independent market, you have to know how to do that kind of stuff. So, but he's very cool.
We interviewed him too. He's a great guy. Who is kind of a dream opponent, somebody you've yet to work that you really like to work with?
My dream opponent for a really long time has been Victoria or Tara.
Tara, yeah.
Lisa Marie, you know, whatever we're calling her.
yep.
I think she's one of those people that I think does what I want to do. She brings all those things together. So, you know, that's kind of somebody I look up to. Another one is Beth Phoenix. And mostly with me, it's these women that bring together. They're these strong women, and they work hard, and you know, they look good doing it. And that's something I've always really striven to do, because I know that I am a role model, especially to young women. And one of the things I want them to know is that you don't have to choose to be the strong girl or the tough girl or to be the pretty cute girl. You can be whatever you want to be, and you can be all of that. And just because you're the strong, tough girl, you know, those girls shouldn't think, okay, well, I can't be the cute girl. I'll just be, you know, the buddy, and, you know, I'm not going to be the pretty girl. I'm not going to get asked to prom. You don't, that's not true. And for the pretty girls, they don't have to feel like, well, this is all I can do. I can't be strong. I can't, you know, be tough and achieve, you know, those kinds of goals that I might secretly have. I can't be, you know, the smart girl. I just have to, you know, portray this, that I'm just the pretty cute girl. No, you can do all of it, every single one of them, and that's what I want. That's what I want young girls to see. I think the best compliment and one of the things that has really driven me when I really very, very first started wrestling, a little girl, I think she's about 9 years old, she said, I want to be like Mary Elizabeth because she is so pretty, but she's so strong and she's so tough. And that's, you know, I want them to see you can be all of it, and you don't have to be who you are based on what other people want you to be or what they perceive. And there was another girl who is in high school, and she sent me an email and told me that she had started doing better in school and started doing her homework because she wanted to be like me, and she wanted
awesome.
To, you know, be successful and achieve. And she thought, you know, okay, you know what? I can do this. I can work hard and I can do better. And that's what I want. That's what I want to happen. That's, you know, when I want to do this and if I want to work for a bigger company, it's because I want to touch more people and, you know, help more people. And I want them to be inspired by me. I don't want to I don't want to do better by holding other people down. I want to do better by inspiring other people and building them up too.
In closing here, where do you see your career going, and what's like your ultimate goal? If things went your way, kind of where do you think you'd be, say, in 4 or 5 years from now?
In 4 or 5 years, it would be pretty cool if I was working for the WWE. I mean, I think we all say that, like, you know, we're on the indies and I want to work for TNA or I want to work for WWE. But right now I'm very focused on, you know, like I was saying, if you want to get a job, you have to look like and be like the people they hire. So right now that's what I'm trying to do. I'm really trying to focus on. And, so I plan to continue that, to continue improving myself and marketing myself. And, you know, so hopefully I get together with them in the next year or so, and in 4 or 5 years, hopefully I'm working for them. And then after that, I don't know, you know, kind of continue to pursue music and possibly use that as a little bit of a jumping off point, as some of the other men and women have been able to do.
Do you have any good road stories, any good ribs you've played on somebody, or somebody's ribbed you really good?
Well, I don't really rib.
Is that more kind of a guy thing than a women's thing on the road?
No, it's not. It's just not really a me thing. I am sure. Okay. Well, okay. Here's something that did happen recently. I was not on the trip because I was having to do something else. So one of my friends who was riding in the car was talking about the driver, and I was like, yeah, I should text him and just start cussing him out. And my friend goes, yeah, you should do it. And I said, well, I don't think I have his number. So my friend sends me the driver's number. So I started texting the driver and, giving him a hard time and telling him, you know, that he was like ruining wrestling and things and just like being just really over the top and silly. And
it's all his fault.
Right. So then, he starts texting me back and going, what, you know, who is this? And I'm like, you know, don't talk to me like that. Don't, you know, don't get an attitude, and just being just dumb. And meanwhile, my friend is texting me going, oh my God, I'm going to pee my pants. This is hilarious. And, so I'm still texting the driver, and then he's trying to guess, okay, is this so-and-so? Is this so-and-so? And I'm like, don't insult me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden he texts me and he goes, hey, Mary. And so I text my other friend and I'm like, you broke, didn't you? You gave it away. So it was pretty funny on my end, just kind of playing around and then making their road trip a little more entertaining. But so my ribs are just kind of all in good fun.
Well, in closing here, go ahead and promote your upcoming matches. I know you said intergender match on Friday night against Tanner Reynolds, and then you're going to defend your Cubby Pro Women's title on Saturday night against Amber Rodriguez. Can you go ahead and plug those and plug some of the upcoming dates you have coming up?
Sure. So Friday I will be in McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and that is at the PWX WrestlePlex, 2125 Beacon Street. The show is at 7:30, and I am going to be having this big intergender match with Tanner Reynolds. Last time I was there, he was pretty disrespectful and talked to me and treated me like I didn't have any business being in a ring. So we agreed to go ahead and put his money where his mouth is, so to speak. And he's got, I don't know, 80 pounds on me and a good 6 or 7 inches. So I've been working hard and, you know, eating a lot of lean protein the last few weeks and trying to just sort of get into his head and kind of figure out what I'm going to be up against, because I know it's going to be different. It's going to be a fight, and I have to be ready. So I'm sort of thinking about my strategy for that. I think I've I think I've got some good plans on how to approach this situation. But then the following night, I will be in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia for Cubby Pro. That one's at 7 o'clock. It's U.S. Route 522, Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. And hopefully I'm not too beat up from Friday because I will be defending my title against Amber Rodriguez, who I actually wrestled and defended my title against her last month, and she cut me. I have a scar on my face, and I'll post a picture of my face with blood on it. So I'm a little salty. I'm kind of, she brought something out of me after that match, the last one. I had some questions and comments about, wow, we kind of saw a different side of you. And they did. She brought out a different side of me, and I kind of like it. She's coming back for more, so she's going to get more.
That sounds good. And lastly, you know, I know you're on Facebook. I don't think you're on Twitter. Go ahead and, you know, promote your social media. Do you have a website that people can find you at? Or?
I have my Facebook. That is facebook.com/WrestlerMaryElizabeth. That is probably the best way at the moment to follow me. I will just warn everybody, I'm probably going to be suspending that account and kind of revamping it here soon. So it may be not around for a while, but it will be back. And then I actually, this is my point about social media, is I kind of get started on some things and then I don't have time, so I sort of lose it. But I did start a website that I promise I will finish. There's a little bit up on it, but it is wrestlermaryelizabeth.weebly.com. And it's really bad right now. There's just like a couple of pictures up and there's like a contact form. So if my Facebook isn't up, you can contact me there, and I will try to keep some of that updated or get it up on its feet, because seriously, right now it's terrible. It's just like, it's awful, but it's there. So
you probably need to create like a Facebook fan page too, just for people to, you know, like
okay.
You. And
good tip. Good tip. Do you want to be my assistant?
Sure, I can help out with that. Not a problem at all.
Okay, you might have just been hired because I'm like, I'm struggling just having a Facebook.
I'll be your social media ambassador. How's that sound? We can work together.
Okay. Awesome. Deal.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time. It's been great to finally get a chance to talk to you, sit down, and go over your career. We wish you nothing but the best of luck, and you know, stay tuned for more.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed being on.
Great. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Wonderful. Thank you.